Mitch Gallo from TSN 690 in Montreal joins us. Mitch, how you doing?
Jason, man, I don't know if I can provide the type of insight that Mark provides you.
Well, I was just going to say, man, it's a hard act to follow because I need you to tell us what do Eskimo fans not know about the Alouettes that they should know going into tonight's match?
That's a great question. I think the Eskimo fans might think they're going to see the similar type of game plan that the Alouettes brought in there last time. And I think they're going to switch it up a little bit here because what they did against Ottawa 2 weeks back was they were running the ball, I believe it was 75% of the time on first down with Brandon Whitaker or Sutton out of the backfield. And they had a lot of success with their run game. But then they tried to copy that again last week against Hamilton and were completely shut down in the second half of that football game, bounced back in the second half and then switched it up, had Jonathan Crompton airing it out, and all of a sudden he was hitting a wide range of different receivers. So I would say the receivers have been performing at a much higher level than the last time these two teams played. So Eskimo fans should watch out for the notables of S.J. Green and Daron Carter. But some of the other guys that have been chipping in, Chad Johnson probably had his best game of the season last week. Eric DeLaurier is down with injury. He had been successful, so maybe we see something from Dave Stawa. And also Brandon London, he could chip in also with a big catch at a time maybe when you don't expect him to.
Mitch, the big difference I've noticed the last 3 weeks in the Alouettes offense is they're attacking downfield. They've got 17 plays of 15 yards or more the last three games. That's the most in the CFL. Is it the scheme, or is it just because Crompton is a better thrower than Troy Smith?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two. Early on in the season when we saw Troy Smith, what we saw was he kind of almost didn't know how powerful his arm was. So in the first couple games of the season, he was airing it out real deep, but he was throwing way past the receivers, like nowhere in the vicinity of connecting. And then it seemed like in weeks 2 and 3, he was trying to adapt to that, and all of a sudden he was underthrowing, and the receivers kept going back for the football. Then we know Troy Smith went down with injury. Alex Brink, definitely not a guy who can air it out with the big arm like that. And now the Alouettes have Crompton in there, and he has been successful. The only thing is, he seems to want to make that ill-advised pass sometimes and try to go deep when maybe he shouldn't. Something that Smith and Brink didn't do as much. But yeah, I think the scheme is part of it. And I think the Alouettes also do a great job of using their run game and their short game to eventually set up for those big plays that you're talking about.
Mitch Gallo joins us from TSN 690 in Montreal, breaking down the Alouettes and the Edmonton Eskimos. Jonathan Crompton and Mitch, you know what, to me it's virtually impossible to prove, of course, but you know how the Crompton situation went down was, you know, he elected not, didn't want to agree to sign to go on the one game injured list or the practice roster after being there the week before, and then the next day showed up on the sidelines in Montreal. And you know, I know agents and coaches talk, and so to me there was probably, hey, you know what, why don't you come to Montreal, we'll get you some time, and hey, it worked out, and I'm all about having better players on better teams, so it worked. But it seemed a little shady how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with that. And if you're Jonathan Crompton, I think you got to really look at where the opportunity lies, right? And at that time, the Eskimos maybe had better options at quarterback than Jonathan Crompton. And he looks at Montreal and he sees, you know, an aging Anthony Calvillo, and then he sees a Troy Smith who's trying to learn the CFL game, which is something that's not that easy to do. And a guy like Tanner Marsh and Alex Brink, who maybe are right off. So maybe he just saw that in Montreal, if he was to evaluate things, his best bet to get some playing time was here in Montreal. And certainly that's been the case. And I think Coach Tom Higgins has been extremely impressed with him, especially over the course of the last 2 weeks to 2.5 weeks. Just his poise in the pocket, his ability to keep everyone calm. Like there was an instance last game, and this really impressed me because I do the sideline reporting during our game broadcast at home, and there was a big mix-up on the sidelines between the Hamilton players and the Montreal players, and S.J. Green was absolutely livid. He was barking. Flags were being thrown left and right on both teams, and Crompton kind of pulled him aside, got him to calm down, brought him into the locker room, and then when they came out, he seemed like he had, you know, regained his composure. And to me, the quarterback has to be able to dictate what everyone does and also be able to control the emotions of a football game. I think he does that extremely well.
Tom Higgins, man, Montreal looked like they were in disarray early on this season, and they weren't getting great play from their quarterback. We understand that. The receivers, who are probably their best skill position overall in the team, weren't being used whatsoever. Injury to Green and everything, they've come back, but the offensive play calling, Mitch, the inexperience of the offensive coordinator, how much of that do you feel went into the slow start for the Owls?
Oh, I think it was huge. I mean, first of all, the Owlettes brought in their coaching staff way too late into the process. They had that fiasco with Dan Hawkins last year, and then Jim Popp took over in week five, and they kind of had a good back half to the season. Jim Popp wanted to coach the team again. Ownership steps in and says, no, that's a conflict of interest. You can't be the GM and then pick the coach if it's going to be yourself, so we're going to pick the coach for you. They bring in Tom Higgins, but they only do that in May and try to bring an entire coaching staff in at the same time. Then they let the offensive coordinator go 2 weeks into camp. That can't be easy. Ryan Dinwiddie, calling plays for the first time, kind of just thrown onto the spotlight and thrown into the mix. I think it was an adapting period for all those guys, and I think it was very difficult on the offense. I think it was a huge factor early on. But I would still say, regardless of the way the Owlettes have played in the last 2 weeks, there are still a lot of question marks on this football team in terms of the offense. Like, I think you're right. They got one of the best receiving corps in the league. They got one of the best backs in the league with Brandon Whitaker, and their defense is extremely strong. But still, until they can string together a lot of successful games at the quarterback position, I'm not willing to call Jonathan Crompton the savior of this season just yet.
I would agree with that. Mitch Gallo joining us from TSN 690 in Montreal. Owls taking on the Eskimos. The Eskimos offense hasn't been great all year, but they did have a very good fourth quarter against Calgary. Really, their most productive quarter against any formidable defense all season long. If they're going to have success tonight, where do they attack the Alouettes defense?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to attack probably going deep. I mean, the Alouettes, maybe their corners could be a bit vulnerable, because up front with the defensive line, they're going to create a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They bring a lot of heat. Watch out for John Bowman, who's having another amazing season in terms of sacks. Gabriel Napton on the line had three sacks last week, so the line's not a weakness. The linebacking core is ferocious, led by Chip Cox and Kyrie Zabair. Those two guys are mean and punishing. So I would be attacking the corners and the safeties and trying to go up through the air, because I think they're going to have a really hard time getting anything done on the ground or with their short game.
Yeah, the Eskimos haven't had a formidable running attack this year. And I think, Mike Riley, actually having him back in, might be their biggest threat at the running attack, because it's so unpredictable when he's going to scramble.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one thing that's going to be difficult, though, for tonight's game, because the Alouettes aren't just going to drop down into coverage. And then if Riley sees an opening, he's going to be able to scramble around and gain a yardage. I mean, they are going to attack him almost on every play. That's what they do. I think Noel Thorpe, the defensive coordinator, likes to call it hyper-aggressive defense. So anytime the quarterback has the ball, they're gunning for the ball. They're going to be ball hawking. They're going to be trying to hit him hard, especially considering he's coming off the hand injury from a week ago. So yeah, he might be able to scramble better than the Eskimos can get in terms of their run game with their running backs. But still, he's got to keep his head up, because those guys are going to try to hit him and hit him hard.
For years, Mitch, Montreal had the best offensive line in the league. Right? I know they had Anthony Calvillo, but man, they always had three or four All-Stars every year. How is their offensive line now? And, how do you think they match up against the Eskimos D-line?
Yeah, I think they're a good offensive line. Like, they're not the offensive line that they were in terms of the days of Scott Flory and Paul Lambert and Brian Chu. All those guys were just so good at protecting Anthony Calvillo. But they have been solid in terms of protecting the quarterback. The only reason I'm a little bit hesitant is because I do believe there's some injuries on the line where guys are playing really banged up right now. Luke Brodeur-Jourde, he's the center. He went down last week. He missed a couple plays. He came back. I believe he's a little bit banged up. He's hurting. And Jeff Parrott is another guy on that offensive line who he left the game in week two, came back, and then he left last week's game, came back. Like, they're battling through injuries, so they might be a little bit susceptible to being punished early on in the football game. But, I mean, I do like them as an offensive line. Between Parrott and Brodeur-Jourde and Josh Burke, who's one of the best offensive linemen in the league, they're strong, but I think they might be wearing down as the season progresses, and they're trying to protect the quarterback night in and night out.
Mitch, I appreciate the rundown. Looking at the Owls now, they're tied for first in the East. This is, you know, I know we chuckle, and it's unfortunate because of the record, but you know, this is a real big game for the Eskimos to stay in the hunt in the ultra competitive West. But also for the Owls, man, they could find themselves legitimately in first place alone after the weekend.
Yeah, I can't believe that after the start that they've had at starting at 1-7, that we're talking about the potential to host the East Division final at the Olympic Stadium. It's crazy the way the season works out, but it's a big game. You're right, for both teams, and Jason, I'm hoping it's a good one.
Me too, Mitch. I appreciate your time. Enjoy it.
Hey, see you guys.